Orbit, we talk about the future tense of art. I'm Giovanna, the host who talk about the future of Web3. If you like our episode, share and like with your love.
Today we have Renata. She's going to share her recent artwork and her art journey. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Giovanna. I'm really happy to be talking with you. I'm calling you from speaking with you from Lion's Head, Ontario, Canada. It's a very small village on the Bruce Peninsula, and it's an ideal spot to make art. We have lots of nature surrounding us that changes daily, and it's very, very beautiful. Mostly I'm working on an iPad. I also treat my work with software on my desktop. But what I like about the iPad is the immediacy of using a stylus right on the screen. Even though I make digital work, I always want to have a hand-drawn component to it. I want to see the hand of the artist. Before I became digital, I worked in more traditional media like paper, sculpture, installation. I did a lot of different kinds of things. But once I started with digital, there was no looking back. I'm very happy, and I really like all the new, there's lots of always new developments to explore. I'm a Texpressionist artist.
Yeah, that's how we met.
Exactly. And it's a global, international kind of phenomenon. And what I like the most, I think, is we have a meeting once a month where we present work. And even if you don't present, there are always ideas that come up, and I get new influences, and I've made lots of good connections, and I've done some curatorial work recently for the movement or the community. We did a project recently called Siberiana, which was a virtual world that four people from the group, Tommy Mintz was the chief architect, and we created this environment, this town square, with a series of doors, and each artist who participated got their own studio that you went through the door and you arrived in their studio. For my project for that was, it was called Mycophilic Imaginarium, and it was all about mushrooms. One of the reasons we made Siberiana was we as a group, we had exhibited on Kunstmatrix virtually, and we didn't like to do the same thing with the white box gallery setting with the wooden floor. And I said, why don't we have a floor like in the forest made of moss with mushrooms? And then people just took off on that idea, and we made this town square with an open sky and terracotta tiles and just a very un-gallery-like setting, hoping that the artists would take that idea. And many of the artists did. One man made a cave out of stone for his studio, and mine, I didn't have any walls. I just had, the works were suspended in the dark, so you could go outside the work and inside the work. You could actually go through the work. And for me, it was really interesting to see how you could get up really close to it, and the resolution was very, very good up, like at an angle. So we had a good experience with Siberiana, and now we're working on another show with a couple of people whom I met about 2 years ago. They're called the Museum of Wild and Newfangled Art. And they purchased one of my NFTs, and that's how I was introduced to them. They're both based in New York City, and one of them is a professor at NYU. She teaches technology and dance. And Texpressionism is working on a virtual group show with them, and with the possibility of minting the work. Another thing I've been involved with is a show about the sea, a marine-based show, and we're booked to present the show at the Cape Cod Museum of Art on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And it opens in November, and it runs through till end of February. And it's a two-person show, and it is a show of my animations, and all of them have a theme of the ocean. The name of the show is Mariniana, The Interrupted Wave. And I also just participated in the Wrong Digital Biennale. So some of the work I'm going to show you now is partly based on what I did for that. I was working with AI and I was making a series of faces. And I was using Renaissance art like Botticelli. I was using 19th century French painting and drawing. And I was feeding those images into the AI and combining them with my own work. So I'll give you an example now. I'll just share my screen. Some recent, I mean, it's not super old, like this is really reasonably up to date. Also, because my animations, they're all on Vimeo. So there's a direct link from here to all of my 50 plus animations. There are a few of them here on the website, but let's just talk about the stills. Okay. So this is from Siberiana.
Nice.
Because I wanted to have black everywhere, floor, ceiling, walls were black, but then the work became more illuminated and they're not realistic mushrooms. They're completely made up, not based on reality. But what I like about mushrooms is they have this quality of changing. People eat mushrooms, they alter their consciousness. When I was a child, we went mushroom picking in the forest. And my father knew how to choose the good ones, and we would get up early and take them back and to the cottage and clean them and fry them up in butter. And he would say they're better than steak.
Yeah.
So I'm a mushroom.
I know. Some mushrooms are really delicious.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
So here's a piece with mushrooms. Also, this is from one of my brushes. I make custom brushes.
Yeah.
To use
I remember.
And lately, well, not maybe not lately, but ever since I was a child, I was completely in love with the Belgian graphic novelist Hergé. And his main character was Tintin. And I'm just wondering if I can zoom in on this somehow. I can't. How can I make it bigger? It's not possible on this. But if you look closely, you can see him there with his little dog, Snowy, and you can see the mushroom here, and it, you know, continues down and goes off the canvas. So these shapes also that I make are very flexible. You can stretch them, you can bend them, and one of the things I really enjoy with making my own brushes and my own elements is it's a kind of form of collage. So I often start with a background from something that I've already made, or I take a photograph. In this case, it's actually a photograph in the background. You can see a little bit here, flower. It's a flower in a vase that I took in my kitchen. So that's fairly recent, again, December or so. Let's see, what else? This is from the Wrong Digital Art Biennale, which is every 2 years. And it's my third time being in it. And this year, the pavilion that I was in was called Je Délire, which means in English, I rave. And for my project, I chose to make a series of faces and animate them. You can see all of my still works. You can see a lot of the animations on my Instagram because I tend to post the videos. They show fairly well on social media, and they show well on many platforms. But it's just really hard on Zoom to show video because there's a lot of lag, as you probably know.
You can send me afterward, like a JPEG or small footage that when I do the editing that I can edit.
Okay, I'll send you a short excerpt from one of I did four pieces for the Biennale, and it led me to some other things. Like, so for here example is a painting using the face repeated with these fantastic looking kind of three-dimensional, these brushes. I just found these brushes. This one in particular it's a new development that Adobe has improved their software. And you can see below that yellow line, you can see the shape of, you can see the brush with the ship on it. There's also a certain amount of opacity so that their layers, you can actually see through some of these brushes. They take on the colors of the background that's behind them. I really like detail. I really like to go into create kind of my own world. And I'm also very, very passionate and very, shall we say, good with color, in that I have no problem coming up with color relationships. It's always been something that I just do instinctively, and I don't have to think about it. It just kind of flows out of me. So I like, when I'm looking at this, I like the play of, you know, this, the aquamarine and this kind of turquoise shape down here, and against all the browns and the beiges and the golds, they're just sort of very, there's a very nice like tension between this intensity here and this kind of soft color there. I like to use pastel colors a lot, I realize, because the nice thing about with digital painting is you can mix color just like you do when you're painting with oil or acrylic. Here's a piece that is part of, again, that same series. I'm just waiting for this to come into focus here. No. Oh, there we are. Okay. These lines that I put in here, I wanted to give the illusion that there were things hanging. These things are hanging in the air. The background is a piece that I took and I pixelated it to use as the ground. And then this shape here is, and this shape here, they're watercolor. So like many painters, I'm trying to play with different planes, different spatial relationships. I want your eye to be drawn back as far as it can go. And then, you know, I like to put these shapes on top of everything to give even more dimensionality, more depth. Okay, I'm gonna pick one more. This is an interesting piece because it reminded me when I started working on it of a painting by the Belgian artist René Magritte. He was a surrealist painter. And he made a head of a woman, and he made her face out of the breasts of a woman were the eyes. And it was a very eerie, weird kind of painting. And if you look in this piece started symmetrically. So you have half of a woman's face here, and you have the other half on this side. But I don't find symmetry very interesting. It's very easy to do things symmetrically with digital, but I always make stuff go off to one side or off to the other side to make the composition more interesting. So again, these kind of watercolor, soft pastel areas, and then the more intricate, this is a brush, and this is a one of the shapes. And there's a brush made out of from a Tintin book. It's a drawing of a ship. Ships, actually the horn of a ship, the making sounds. Yeah, it says after Magritte, that's the title. So I acknowledge that I was thinking of him. He was quite a master. And I love art history. I love to make references to painters from the past, because a lot of when I was younger as an art student, I went to museums to study the old masters as much as possible. And then, you know, you always, as an artist, you always get influenced by what came before you. Do you have any questions?
I really like all the colors and all these like kind of surrealism and the image. When you create this artwork, like what was the like original any idea concept that let you choose the elements? For example, like those faces, or it just like simultaneously it just happened?
Well, I think one thing I've discovered about working with AI is that I don't want photographic realism. I don't want it to give me a realistic image. And then when I do get something from the AI, like for example this face here, it's not interesting to me to have it just look like a face. So as you can see, I made it into a kind of a like a space, something out of space, a kind of a sculptural. There's a sculptural feeling to this one. And then with this one, I overlaid it with a lot of color to give it another look. I don't want realism. I don't want to fool people to think that they're looking at something that's perfect. It's an expression.
Is from text or I know like Adobe recently they have a like a new AI tools that you can actually text to generate image, or
yeah, no,
this is just the based on something you choose.
No, I haven't actually explored the Adobe one. I think it's called Firefly. I use Midjourney. I've been using Midjourney since about June of 2022. Yeah. And first I did the text prompts and made images, but then they allowed you to blend images. So you can pull any images from anywhere and put five of them together and give them a certain weight. And you can tell it like how realistic you want it or how stylized you want it. And it blends them. Sometimes you can put two if you want, or three. It's a little clearer. You can see a little better what's happening. But I like to use a lot of them. I like to pile them on top of each other. And then, of course, you get four images from that. And you blow up one of those and you save it. And then you put that into the mix. So you keep, it's like having children. You just keep making images from the previous images. Eventually you have so many that it becomes not very productive. So I usually stop. I usually only do it for a little bit. And then I take what I've been given and then I morph it and I color it and I stretch it and I do all kinds of things to it. Because I basically want the viewer to have to decipher what they're seeing. I don't want to give them, I don't want to give them something easy to look at.
Are you going to mint as NFTs, or are you going to showcase like a print out of a physical work?
It depends on the circumstance. More and more I find that the curators will say, you know, they want this or they want that. I like printing on metal. I like doing sort of 4 foot by 3 foot by 4 foot rectangular on a aluminum substrate. And I'm really happy with how they look in that format. I think I have an example here. This piece here, the Imperial Air, this was the flagship or the poster for the Expressionism Digital and Beyond exhibition in Southampton. And I had this printed on metal substrate, and it came out looking really nicely because the metal has a certain, there's a certain amount of lacquer that they can put on top so that it glows, it pops. And this piece here, I'm going to be showing this summer in Brooklyn, also on metal. And this was actually my first NFT that I sold. I sold it in the Tezos, on Tezos blockchain on object.com. It's called The Rocket Escapes the Flytrap. So I'm having this one printed on metal. And I'm also going to make an animation of it. And I'm going to have the gallery visitors can open their iPhone. There's Wi-Fi in the gallery. They can download the Art Vive app onto their phone, and they can point it at the painting on the wall, and it'll come to life with music on their phone. So it's already been minted, it's not going to, that's its life as an NFT, but it has another life, you know.
Yeah, physical work.
Yeah, and with the VR.
I think it's not that easy to choose like whether, like what type of media you want to use, or especially for digital image, sometimes it's tough that I have a hard time to choose like whether, I don't know what type of materials like I should pick, like paper or like metal or something like the, even the color, it can look really different if you choose a different type of papers.
Yeah, I printed this one on a Hanamula rag paper from Germany, and I had a really good printer.
Yeah.
He does fine art printing, and it came out really, really well on paper. And I had it because it's all black, I put a white mat around it and a white frame. And it really worked for that one because there's a lot of detail. It's a bit like an engraving. It's a bit like one of those 19th century botanicals. You know how they used to do the very elaborate flower or the very elaborate leaves or seashells? It has that feeling for me. So that I actually had made as a sample to take so that when you go to a gallery, they could show the person one example in a frame, and then they could show 10 other examples on paper in a folder and say, see, this is what it looks like when you print it and frame it. And then the person can choose what they want. But I like metal better because it's more, it has this feeling of more durability and more sort of impact. And you don't have to frame it when it's on metal because it's a whole thing unto itself.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm interested.
Yeah, anything else you like to talk about your work, or what is your the earliest upcoming shows?
Well, there's this show in Brooklyn, which opens in August on the 7th.
Tomorrow, and goes,
yeah, Hello Brooklyn, and it goes till September 25th. And then there's a show in Cape Cod that opens on November, just trying to see here the date, November 21st it opens, and it finishes on February the 9th. I do want to mint some more of my animations. I've got a fair number of pieces on Object. I've got some pieces on Foundation as well. And I also have a whole bunch of pieces on First Dibs. So my animations and my still works both are available on all those three platforms. And I'm just watching what's going on with NFTs and trying to figure out what the next frontier is and how to best reach people with my works in that category. And then I'm in a show right now that's on a VR platform. It's called The Loop Art Critique, and the show is a mixture of still works and video works. So I have a video piece in the show, and the resolution is extremely good. I'm really, really pleased with that platform, how well it works. And that's on for a few more months, I think until September. And that was curated by the Museum of Wild and Newfangled Art. And they're really interesting people. They have a really strong interest in helping artists to sell. They believe that artists should be paid for their work and paid well. And they also have a kind of overview on Web3, and they're really like philosophers of what's going on. And they've actually just sunsetted all of their social media platforms, and they're working more on just places like Object and Loop and other websites, rather than going through the traditional channels of, you know, Twitter, X, Facebook, etc. So they're interesting, and they'll be speaking at our salon on this coming Thursday. I'm going to be moderating the next Texpressionist Salon, which is always on the first Thursday of every month at 12 noon Eastern time. Okay. And the topic this week is money. So I've got some very interesting people lined up to speak about the topic, and I think we'll have a good discussion, because it's something that is always it's always a problem in a way for artists. How are they going to support their work?
Yeah.
It's a better time now. We used to do it later and less people could come, but now we can get people from India and from other parts of the world,
side.
Iran, they can join us without a problem. Germany, it's good. So yeah, you should try to come.
Thank you for sharing.
My pleasure.
Yeah, sure. I really like her.
Oh, Marlena, yeah, this is the Marlin Spike Collection on Foundation.
Yeah.
And it's videos telling a story.
Nice.
All right, I'm going to stop sharing my screen.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.